Amen. I got mixed emotions about trying to teach a little bit from up here. In fact, I'm just going to mostly just talk about some current events going on right now. That if you watched any news at all or had a chance to, or even read the newspaper, you see some of this particular stuff that I'll address a little bit tonight. I want you to find the little book of Joel in your Bible. If you get to Amos, you got to go back to your left. And if you get to Hosea, you got to go back to your right. Get to Daniel, you go back to your right. So we'll ask you to go on over there and just hold chapter 3 there for just a minute. If you're up on kind of some of the latest headlines or what's going on, the latest talk, you know that things are in a pretty big mess. We recognize that if you know anything. And I assume on Wednesday night some folks know something about the Bible enough that we can talk this way a little bit to you. Government is so crazy till it's unbelievable. Here's a little old thing here. You've probably seen it in the paper. Brother Grafton here gave it to me just a while ago. I read this before, I believe, but a federal judge has ruled two Connecticut public high schools can't hold their graduations inside a church because that would be unconstitutional endorsement of religion. Probably don't address the fact they need the bigger auditorium, see. U.S. District Court Judge Janet Hall, boy, boy, boy. I'm sorry, ladies, but every time I hear about a woman judge, I get nervous. Judge Janet Hall made the ruling Monday in the case of Enfield High School and Rico High School, both in Enfield, and that's all it says right there. But they couldn't hold. I remember when I was in school, they took us down to use the church auditorium for some particular event. And just like still today in some places, they have baccalaureate services, and churches have that. It's crazy. It's crazy. But there's a big move going on that shows how this whole world hates God. Joel chapter 3, this will catch us up to what the news is on the TV today. And the news says, "For behold, in those days," chapter 3 verse 1, "behold, in those days, and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem." Gives you a time set now. It's when the captivity is returning. "I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." I'm not going to keep reading on it, but if you come on down through the chapter here, you find out that we're in a very current setting. You read where God says, "He that toucheth Israel toucheth the apple of my eye." Yeah. You read over there where Jerusalem in the end time is predicted to become a burdensome stone, and it's going to crush everybody that tries to mess with it. And what we're currently seeing in the news right now, if you've paid any attention at all, is all Europe, all the Muslim nations already had the crowds ready, and we got a big international display against Israel going on right now. And the big setup really is what it was. Egypt and Israel's had that blockade against the terrorists for a long time. Now what you got is the liberals putting together a scheme to go over and cause an international incident. And there's more to it than meets the eye. I don't always get to watch him, but when I'm home and can, I catch a little bit of Glenn Beck. How many of you caught him today? Quite a few hands. He was on point today. In fact, I wonder what happened. He ran out of time, and they started shooting all those commercials in on the end. He didn't get to even begin to wrap it up and finish up. Made me wonder if even that was on purpose, getting him off the air, because he was about to kind of spill the goods there on the international conspiracy business that's going on. And I want to say the Jew is big time in the news, And what the Lord said would be happening in the end time is already moving. What you have, and again, assuming some Bible knowledge, you have the nation's opinion, international opinion, backing, as it were, the terrorists. That's what Hamas is there. And, you know, we said when they got into Gaza and took it over and the Jews surrendered a little land, they were just use that for a rocket base to shoot over into Israel. And their whole plan is to destroy the nation. They'll never be satisfied with any less. And the part that gets me is you got a crowd that is backing them. If they were in power, what would they do to the women? If they were in power, what would they do if Sharia law was enacted right here in Haines City, Florida? You could get your head on the chopping block. Where is the craziness coming from? How in the world can we imagine that people are like that? You read in the Bible concerning the Jew, he's been under persecution much, but the truth of the matter is that we've come to a day and time now to where we're seeing the whole circle come around again. And what Beck was saying today, I'm proud of him because he's a Mormon. I hope he's saved, but he's not saved if he's messing with Joe Smith's books. He needs to mess with God's book, amen. But at the same time, he's been rubbing shoulders with some people that have been telling him the truth, because he was spouting a lot of truth today, biblical truth concerning the Jew. Now, I didn't get the idea to say something about it tonight because of him. I was already meditating on it. When I flipped over there him about 5 o'clock, I couldn't believe that he was coming out with it and clicking it off just like it was. And you ought to pray for him to be able to stay on the air, because I'm surprised he's still on there when he's giving it out like he was today. He's not always right, but he's pretty well on point today. Now, who is a Jew to begin with? Well, we can go back and talk about Abraham and Jacob and recognize that part of it. They were chosen of God. If you wanted to go back, I don't have any scripture marked. I'll just I'll let you catch it. Maybe you'll find it before I do. Go back to the second giving of the law, Deuteronomy, and pick it up there with me in chapter 7. And we'll just look at a few verses tonight. And chapter 7, pick it up in verses about 6, 7, 8 maybe. Deuteronomy chapter 7. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did set his love upon you, did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now God is telling them why he's chosen them, how he's using them, what the Jew is. Now I'll tell you what they are. They were of the promised seed. That's important for you to hold in mind. Of course, who is a Jew? Well, you know that Jacob had his name changed to Israel, and that we recognize following on, Abraham actually himself was not a Jew, but God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and began to start what wound up to be with you and I knowing as the nation of Israel in the Bible. When you get to John chapter 3 in the New Testament, Nicodemus was called a ruler of the Jews, a master in Israel. Paul described himself in Acts chapter 22 as being a Jew. Later on in chapter 26, he described himself as being a Pharisee. And he was deep into the Jewish religion and Judaism. But the Lord Jesus struck him down with a bright light on the road to Damascus and saved him and put the shoe on the other foot. And he began to be used of God. Now, before that, of course, Jesus was a Jew. In John chapter 1, he says he came unto his own. His own received him not. His own was a Jewish race of people. You come back to the seed. If you were to go to Psalms chapter 89 with me, we'll pick up the word seed there. and I'm just laying a little bit of this out to you. We need to understand, and the only way you will understand what's behind what's going on today and has really gone on through history, but we're seeing it finish up and materialize in our day and time, you've got to understand something about who the Jew is. So Psalms chapter 89, pick it up in about verse 29. God is making some promises here now. He says, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore. Now David's in the picture here, King David. My covenant shall stand fast with him. What's verse 29? His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Now all the crowd that's wanting to get rid of the Jews are not going to be able to do it. God says the throne is going to endure forever. Now that promised seed, as you get over to Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament, that seed of David, the promised seed is described as the Lord Jesus Christ, was of the house and lineage of David, the seed of David. And so if you think about the satanic attack on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're understanding there's a battle of the seeds. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after the serpent beguiled Eve, and God has come in the cool of the day, and he's pronouncing the curse on the earth, and he's speaking to Satan when he says that her seed will bruise your head. He's talking about the seed of the woman. Speaking of the serpent's seed, he said he'd bruise your heel. There's an interesting thing there. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he was the Son of God. He was our sacrifice. Sandy was singing about the blood a while ago, but the very literal fulfillment of Genesis 3:15 can be seen there. They stretched him out on the cross. They nailed his hands and feet and probably tied them too, according to the Psalms. But there he was, and all the pressure of the human body, the weight of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, was placed on his heel as it rocked back against that rugged cross. You understand, a man died from crucifixion. Actually, he died from lack of breath, because beaten like Jesus was, mutilated like he was, the loss of blood and everything that he had, a man hanging on the cross had to stretch up to breathe, go down. When he finally had no more strength to rise again, he died for lack of breath. That was the basic thing. Now, Jesus died from a broken heart, and we understand a difference there. But as that happened, that heel of that foot rocked back against the cross, a very literal fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, that the serpent's seed would bruise his heel, or the seed of the woman's heel, took place on Calvary. But by the crucifixion and resurrection, Satan's head was bruised. Amen. And Christ, of course, is the victor. Now, the seed, of course, was Jesus. But there's a satanic hatred behind what's been going on through history. St. Bartholomew Day's massacre, all the stuff that was done to the Jews, the Spanish Inquisition, all of that in history, finally coming all the way up to what Hitler did and killing 6 million Jews. There's something more than human behind that. There's an evil spirit. There's a satanic spirit. It is of the devil, and the hatred of the woman's seed, the virgin birth. Mary was a Jewish maiden. Jesus was of the seed of the woman, the virgin birth. All of that, but Satan has been against that, and the hatred of the Jew is prevalent and apparent all the way through history. Now, Jewish hatred, folks, is a dangerous thing for us getting in trouble with God. He said in Genesis 12, I'll bless them that bless thee, giving the promise to Abraham, to his seed, and I'll bless them that curseth thee. I may have already made the devil mad tonight. Hope it don't go off. But you go through the Bible and you see that hatred. The book of Esther was nothing more than genocide attacked on the Jews. And in the coded in that Esther is also the war criminals, Hitler's crowd, and all that. You've heard me talk about that. But we find Haman was a type of the devil and the Antichrist, especially the Antichrist, wanting to get rid of the Jews. Now, you and I owe much to the Jews. We owe this whole Old Testament. In a sense, we owe the Bible, because the saved Jews that basically wrote God used to write the New Testament, most of them. And we owe our Bible. Church was started by a bunch of saved Jews back there. You follow them on through the book of Acts and so forth. I don't want to get off into that. This world today, the greatest music is about the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. And you look at the best of art, you look at the best of music, you look at best of inventions, in most cases, a Jew's behind it. The inventor of insulin, medicine-wise, medically-wise, a Jew. Polio vaccine was also, of course, Jonas. Don't that sound like a Jewish name to you? Jonas Salk, behind the polio vaccine. Even when you get up to World War I and II, especially World War I, you have the Jews inventing synthetic gunpowder and giving it to the Allies. One of the reasons as a Jewish nation over there today, humanly speaking, was because the Jews backed the Allies against Germany and against Japan. And in World War I and II there, especially, we find that a promise was made to them. I think Beck referred to it today, the Balfour Declaration. And he had some of that stuff right. And he talked about the Jew going back in 1948, May 14th, and he said some things that I've never heard said on TV before, except by maybe a gospel preacher, and that is that the United States recognized the nation of Israel under President Harry Truman and how big and important that was. He quoted a man today that Truman got some advice from that I had not heard, but many of you know who J. Frank Norris was in the old days. J. Frank Norris, great fundamental preacher of old. He was a rabble rouser by some, but bless God, he brought a lot of things back to the grassroots. And one thing he stood for was this King James Bible and some other things. But anyway, Harry Truman communicated with J. Frank Norris about how to deal with the Jew. And when the Jew came back in 1948 and raised his flag, the very next day the Arabs attacked. But Harry Truman immediately recognized them as a nation. And you know something? America has survived in spite of all her sins because we stayed on the side of the Jew. And we are more in danger now stepping over the line and bringing God's judgment on us than we've ever been before. In fact, I think it's going to happen. I fear it's really, really going to happen. Under Hitler, he won the Aryan race. Talking about identifying yourself as a Jew, remember they had to wear the yellow armbands to identify them. And to identify yourself as a Jew over during World War II was just about to have yourself killed or sent to the prisons and maybe burned in the ovens and so forth. And it's an amazing thing to see the warfare between good and evil, God and the devil over the Jew, all the way through the Bible, all the way through history, and now coming around to the climax in the day and time that you and I live in now. I know I've never voted very many folks out of this church. Maybe some I should have, I don't know. But there had been just two or three that I told either go or that was going to happen. And one that I had to tell that to was a fellow that just hated the Jew and intended to make as many converts in this congregation as he could. And when I found out about it, I had to go and had to go quick. And truth of the matter is, I would have feared God's judgment on me if I'd have tolerated anything like that at all. To me, that was worse even than adultery or drunkenness or something else, because you can get in trouble with God Almighty in a hurry over the apple of his eye. And some of the doctrine that particular crowd was espousing, and you still hear it today, is that the Jews that are over there now are not Jews. They're Zionists and they're not Jews, and English America and England and all that, we're the Jews. Well, you might as well put your brain in a mosquito, you'll fly backwards with that kind of thinking. That's crazy. But they argue about the 10 lost tribes. I want you to understand they're not lost to begin with. If you were to turn over with me to Acts chapter 26, you'll find the Apostle Paul making his defense here before King Agrippa. And he's retelling his story of his conversion. And in Acts chapter 26, and I'm getting this not for the context of it now, but for a truth that's present here. Paul has been making his defense. There was a crowd of Jews after him because of him switching to Christianity and so forth. But he's talking now before the king. He's telling the king, I'm doing nothing more than was predicted, nothing more than following through. And he makes this statement in verse 7 of chapter 26, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Now, my point is, Paul says in his day, he's talking about the 12 tribes, not 10 lost tribes. 12 of them. Paul knew about them. He knew they existed in that day. Now, if you were to go with me over to the book of Ezekiel, I think I want to go to probably Ezekiel 37. Go back to your left here, and let's go over to Ezekiel. And of course, by the way, on the side here, we're getting really close to these chapters being fulfilled in Ezekiel. Chapter 36 through 38 and the nuclear war on the mountainsides of Israel, I think, is getting very, very close. But that's not my point right now. Go to chapter 37 of the book of Ezekiel. And starting in verse 15, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is of the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and put them with one, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah. Now, here's the line I want you to get. And make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. Now, you need to understand something. God said in the end time, they're going to be one. These sticks brought together into one. And so the argument today, and you run across this. I went over and opened a prayer meeting, opened in prayer for a meeting of the Tea Party in Lakeland some months back. And as soon as I got through praying, I don't know what I said in prayer, but I got up opening prayer. And as soon as I walked down and started walking out, here come a nut after me with a whole pile of stuff he'd printed off trying to tell me the Jew wasn't a Jew. And there was a lake there, but everybody was watching. I didn't throw him in it. But I felt like it. Just nuts when it comes to what the Bible has to say. But anyway, with all that said, I'm simply saying, don't let anybody throw you off on that doctrine. Don't let them try to deceive you. It's a backdoor attack on the Jews. The Jews are sinners. They need Christ like everybody else. Some of them are moral. Some of them are immoral. Some of them are religious. Some of them are atheists, just like anybody else. But I read in Deuteronomy where God said he chose them, and he's going to finally fulfill his purpose in them. And there's so many verses that we could read and so many verses that we could go to. Question is today, will Israel survive? Now, do you see them on the map? They're not as big as New Jersey. I mean, as a state. And then all these big nations around them, and look at the international anger that is going against them right now. Humanly speaking, they couldn't survive. And their biggest supporter through the years, from before Harry Truman and on, America, is now so wishy-washy, saying one thing and another. Not only that, we are financially broke. We're intimidated by countries like China and other places. We got to have the oil. We got to have the money. And I want to tell you something. America's not looking like a good protector right now. In fact, if anything, they're looking more like a Judas than they are Samson anymore. I look over here in the book of Jeremiah, talking about, is Israel going to survive? Jeremiah chapter 31. Find it with me. I don't have it marked either. I'm just rambling through some verses here. I remember this one, Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's see, I'll drop in at about verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Now watch the next verse, verse 36. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed, back to the word seed now, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. What's God saying? He's saying they're going to last as long as the ordinances I've set up in the universe, the moon, the stars, the sun. And he's trying to say to some folks, you're not going to get by with destroying them. Now we're seeing, back to Joel chapter 3, we're seeing the gathering of nations. We're seeing Israel pushed in a corner. This was a whole plan, this group of ships that went down to break the blockade. It was all a plan. It was to make an international incident. And I think ultimately the plan is to push to war. Now it's interesting who wants to see that, because before Israel will go back to the ovens, she will push the nuclear button and has a right to. And I think they're delaying every way they can not to do that. You say, well, you're reading Ezekiel where God lets the hailstones come down and the foreign armies are destroyed. Yes, and I think that's supernatural, but watch out for the trigger. You know, a gun can be pretty innocent. Let's say an old double-barrel shotgun can be pretty innocent as long as you leave the trigger alone. But when you start playing around with the trigger, something big's going to happen. I don't know what the trigger's going to be. I don't know where it's going to be, North Korea. By the way, isn't it interesting they didn't shoot the boat out of the water and kill 47, and there's no international incident over that. But then you have this situation with Israel trying to enforce the blockade, and look what a disturbance it's caused worldwide. We're living in a strange time. If you do not understand the devil behind the chess game, you won't understand what's going on. You have to understand that, as the Bible said it would be. The end time scenario today is getting close, folks. Very close. In Jeremiah chapter 31 there, the promise is that the ordinances will go out before Israel does. God is giving a comparison there. Now we're in a day and time when Paul tells us in Romans 11 that blindness has happened to Israel, but he also tells us that they're going to be grafted back in. And we can read about that, and you're not too far from it. Go to the book of Zechariah with me, and we'll turn right over here to Zechariah, look at it in chapter 12. And look at it here about verse 10, I guess, I want to look at. Zechariah 12:10. Well, let's go to verse 9, get the context. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. You know, if they believe this Bible, they wouldn't want to be one of those nations that comes against Jerusalem. Verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David, and that's the Jew, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem. I won't stop there except to say, the time's coming they are going to recognize Jesus, the one they pierced, the one that was their Messiah they rejected. They're going to recognize him, but some bad things are going to happen. They're going to recognize him in the midst of their tribulations and troubles. Now, if we're seeing the nations today, and I think we are, they're gathering against Jerusalem. They're even denying that Jerusalem is the capital of the Jews over there. They're trying to take it for the so-called Palestinians. And folks, you got terrorism being actually supported across Europe because they're supporting the Muslims. Islam is the main sponsor of terrorism all the way across. And it's that fanatical, ridiculous, false religion that they have that's the engine driving this whole thing. Now, I want to say this. Jews are going to be saved in this time of Jacob's trouble. We know it is a tribulation period. They're going to get saved, many of them. We know 144,000 for sure. And again, we come back to the 12,000 from 12 tribes, so the tribes aren't lost. Don't be fooled by that bad doctrine. But saved Jews, after recognizing Christ, are going to rule the world. Go back to Matthew chapter 19. I believe I'm right on that. Matthew 19. Pick it up in verse 28. Peter's asked a question. He's a little bit like us. He wanted to know what was in it for them. And so as a disciple, Peter's asked, what they're going to have later. And verse 28, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration. Now the regeneration is going to be following the tribulation period. We're talking about the millennial reign of Christ. And so in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now Israel is going to judge with Jesus on the throne from Jerusalem, David's throne. That's what's predicted. Now that's going to take place. And again, you got the 12 tribes. You got from each tribe, and the Lord sitting on his throne. Now, that's going to be the kingdom age. Everybody prays today, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's coming, and God's will is going to be done on earth as it's done in heaven. He's going to use the Jew. He chose them there, Deuteronomy. Now, I went back, and we read there when he talked to them about choosing them, not because they were the most or the best, but because he loved them. And he's going to use them special in the millennial reign. Now the church, those that are saved, are going to also have their role in the millennial reign. Now the New Jerusalem, as a bride coming down out of heaven, you read about it at the end of the book of Revelation. And you and I believe that some believe just Israel will rule as priests and kings, but I believe we will also. But I think there'll be a distinction there. There's a distinction today between the Jew and the church. If a Jew gets saved, That's what he needs to get today. But the promises in the book that's made to the Jew and the promises in the book that's made to the church are two separate things. And this replacement theology, so-called, that a lot of liberal churches are following today, is part of why this world is thinking. And you'll be surprised, you watch the big denominations of religion now will join against Israel in what's happening. That's going to happen. They already are doing so. And it's a bad doctrine, it's bad theology that makes them think that. Because they've stolen the promises made to Israel and tried to apply them to the church. And God's all through with Israel. No, he's not. Blindness in parts come. But he's going to have his day again with them. And the world don't understand that. And so just like Hitler thought he could get away with it, in fact, Hitler bragged. He said, well, if they love the Jews so much, why don't some of these other nations take them and I won't have to kill them? Nobody else took them, including America. At the time, I hate to say it, but at the time, we didn't do our part either, waking up, seeing what was happening. Many of you remember, and I can't call the name of the ship that floated around the oceans full of Jews, and nobody would take them. They got down as close as Cuba down here. But never, nobody would let them land at the port. Y'all check that history out. We're talking about World War II stuff. And they wound up back in Europe, and many of them wound back up in the ovens. So Hitler, as bad as he was incriminating some others also that would not give him a place to land, so to speak. Now, here's what I want to say that's good news. God's plan's on time. It's our job to keep spreading the gospel. It's our job, though, to also see what's coming and realize time has got to be drawing short. When we see Europe uniting now with the enemy of Israel, gathering against Jerusalem, to destroy the Jews again, pushing them in the corner again, just like Joel here in the text that we first chose said. God said, okay, I'm going to deal with those that come against Jerusalem. That's where we're at right now, seeing this build. How long will it take to build? I don't know, but it sure is building fast. I know that. It's really moving on. Things have fallen into place that when I first started preaching, I preached as far off prophecy. Now it is history. It has come and it is fulfilled. It's either here or it's gone. Already happened. And I'm simply saying to you, we better be busy doing what we can, reach everybody we can. I started to joke a while ago with Brother Cruz when he played the trombone. I didn't know he had that talent. I started to say I was expecting a trumpet, but not quite that, but that was good. But I'm simply saying I am expecting a trumpet. I'm expecting come up hither, amen? Expecting the Lord Jesus to say, all right, this thing is about at the bursting point. And I do think that it's very, very close to being there. And with all that's going on right now, America's on dangerous thin ice as to where we come down on this issue. I challenge you to pray about it. Don't be pessimistic about it. I'm optimistic that we are going to hear the trumpet, that something good is going to happen soon. But in the meantime, I want to be caught on the right side of things. I certainly do. And I believe that God does bless them that take the right position and the right stand on the Jew, as far as his whole big picture and relationship. And we better be careful in that area. All right, let's stand, please. Sure, Brother Cruz wants choir practice. I appreciate the choir being faithful during the summer. We need you to be faithful. And folks, even in the summertime, with so many of our regulars gone, we still have visitors, we still have the opportunity to show ourselves friendly, to reach folks for Christ. And let's not think, well, it's summertime, we just give up. No, we keep on working, amen? All right.